presenting Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves.
X-4 calling control tower, the X-4 calling control tower, standing by.
Control tower, back to the X-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200, all clear.
Okay, this is Pop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's Ace of the Airwaves, coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, there's a lot about helicopters in the aviation news these days. Number one, the Kellett XR-10, the Army's biggest helicopter, is now taking its test flights in North Wales, Pennsylvania. This is a two-engine job, although the engines are inside the fuselage and you never get to see them. Together, the engines whip up 1,050 horsepower and they drive two separate rotor blades which operate in different directions. Most of the helicopters you see around have a tail propeller as well as a rotor, but without that tail propeller, the helicopter will just keep turning around and around. Kellett's XR-10, on the other hand, has no tail rotor, but it does have the two main rotors revolving in opposite directions. This enables the new helicopter to fly as straight as a string. The XR-10 has a maximum speed of well over 100 miles an hour, which is pretty fast for a helicopter, you know. It'll carry 10 passengers plus the pilot and the co-pilot. Or you can load it with 2,000 pounds of cargo without the passengers. The Army expects to use it for special jobs that the two-passenger helicopters they have now can't do. For example, dropping a squad of 10 men into a tough spot means a lot more than dropping one or two. And a 10-man rescue squad or firefighting team is a lot more efficient than a smaller squad. Yes, sir, XR-10 opens a whole new field to the helicopter. Will happen tomorrow, and maybe not for quite a long time. But the helicopter is going to be a big item one of these days. In just a few minutes, I'll be back to tell you more about the helicopter, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Caught in a tortuous web of circumstantial evidence, Hop and Hank find themselves again under suspicion of murder, and so redouble their efforts to solve the weird and mystifying riddle of the ghostly Avengers. As we continue now, the boys are wandering aimlessly around the New Orleans airport. Night has fallen, a hushed, breathless, tropic night. The moon is a dull orange ball low on the eastern horizon, and in the marshlands, some distance away, myriad squadrons of fireflies blink a disorganized pattern of pinpoint light. Crickets chirp loudly in an age-old prophecy of rain, until finally they are drowned out by the thunder of a giant transport taxiing to the head of the runway in preparation for takeoff. Hop comes to a stop as the airliner turns onto the concrete and watches, a faraway look in his eyes, as it roars toward him. The brilliant moonlight gleaming like two bright eyes. Can I get you a
beautiful? Yeah.
Think some people don't even know what it means to fly.
Yeah, we know. We could tell them.
I'm afraid there's no way to describe it. We sure are lucky, though.
Yeah, I'll see.
Hey, what are you talking about, lucky?
Huh?
We're about the unluckiest guys in the world. We got a murder rat hanging around our necks, remember?
Huh.
That? Yeah, that. We go wandering around, running off at the mouth like a couple of sentimental goats.
Yeah, you know how I'm done.
Well, let's get organized, huh? What are we doing out here anyway? We got work to do.
Yeah, I know it, but it's good to get away and be by yourself. Give you a chance to think.
We ain't got time to think. We got to move. Inspector Fry's measuring us up for a cell with hot and cold running bars.
Relax, Tank. He can't send the murder on us yet.
He's doing a fine job. So took that cargo strap out of his pocket and told us that we'd used to strangle Moran, the mechanic. I almost leaped out of my chair.
Me too.
Sure wish I knew how I lost it.
Oh, didn't you miss it?
No.
When was the last time you remember having it?
When we were talking to the ground crew, I think. But I ain't too sure.
And you kept it in your jacket pocket?
Yeah, this one here.
Well, did you take the jacket off at any time?
Yeah, I think so.
Wait.
Remember when we was hanging around the office, I got kind of hot
in the office, huh?
And I tossed it on a chair. Somebody could have taken us in.
Well, the trouble is, Paul and Craig leave the office wide open. Everybody wanders in and out.
Yeah, this place is like Grand Central Station.
But if Martin, the pilot who cut the elevator cable on the beach, had been around, somebody would have noticed him, I'm sure, since he quit.
Well, look, what are we booting our brains out for? What are we grabbing? The cinch he cut the strap, too.
Well, Paul and Craig are checking his whereabouts. The address he left with him is a dud.
If you ask me, he's behind the whole thing. He was awful sore when he quit, so we cut the strap. Then he killed Moran to keep him quiet. This morning, he tried to get rid of us, figuring we was getting a little close.
A couple of weeks past now.
Huh? What, for instance?
How did he know Moran was going to tell us anything? He wasn't on the field or in the hangar when we talked to him.
Well...
And what about the strange enemy fighters, the Zeros and Messerschmitts the pilots had been seeing?
That's something else again.
Something I don't think he could handle by himself. Just as how did he know about the cargo run to Kansas City last night?
Well, he just kicked off.
Exactly. So there's someone else in the airline who's involved.
And Martin's doing all the dirty work?
Either that, or he's the brains and someone's working for him.
Sweet little nest of rattlesnakes we stepped in, ain't it?
Sweet, there's only to work for. Well, I guess we'll better head back to the office, see if Paul's turned up anything on Martin.
I'm almost scared to.
What?
Maybe Inspector Fry will be there with cups for us,
huh? Forget it. Come on.
Sir Hopper leaped the air across the field back to the row of hangers in silence, mentally wrestling with the many unanswered questions in the back of his mind. Who was their enemy on the field? Who took the cargo strap from Tank's pocket? Exactly what are the ghostly fighter planes? What caused the crash of the DC-4 the night before? And seemingly hundreds of others. Reaching the hangar marked Ace Flying Service, the door turned to the Smile Administration office alongside. At the door, Tank raises his hand to knock, when suddenly the hear Paul Conway's voice, loud and angry.
Tank, hold it.
Slow down, listen to me.
Listen to me, sir. I've put my life savings into this line. I've begged and borrowed, and I'm afraid to sell my papers for many people money. You expect me to give it all up now? After all, Paul, I had to do some heavy scratching myself. I must have been easily in here and good. And why do you want to sell out now?
It's sure that
I see the red port is staying with a burning ship. This line's finished, Paul. Completely wrecked. Every trip in the last week has been a loss for us. You only have 3 clients left, and as soon as that contract went out, we'll lose them too. We'll find others. With our reputation, just kidding yourself. But if you sell out now, then at least part of our money back.
I don't do it.
But I just think for who can't do it. And Paul, yes. I've spoken to Vinny about it. He agrees with me.
Agrees with you? He wants to sell out soon?
Yes, he can't take it anymore either. I don't think it's better for him. Call me. Call while you're out this afternoon. Doesn't feel too good yet, but it'll be the end of the morning.
And I'll wait. All I do is say you're through speaking my
phone. Okay, Paul, I'll have it your way. But what are we going to do about this?
We haven't enough time.
We haven't any pilot.
Can't afford to come back?
After that, Jack, what do you think?
Well, I'll ask Pop and Tank to take her out. She's done so much already.
Paul, are you sure they're okay?
What do you mean?
Well, they're nice enough, guys, but they certainly haven't helped us very much. And as a matter of fact, I left them worse than they got.
But not their fault for doing everything they can.
What about the
murder?
For sure, I'll
have to
take
AJ
for you.
I don't know. You heard what Inspector Clark said this afternoon? Yes, a lot of mouthwash.
I've been
thinking of being
trained.
You won't help the guy
who's doing it when
he
finds out.
Don't say that again.
Of course, you know them better than I do. Yes, I do. I've stopped. Take my word for it. If anybody can help us carve out of this mess, they're the boys.
All right. I'm afraid it's too late,
Mark. Okay, Tank, let's go on. Pop, what did you think? I thought it was very interesting. Go on, now. She's back. No, hold it. All right. Somebody just stuck around the corner of the building. Come on.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the idea?
Somebody else was listening. Tank at that window. Easy now. See? Yes. There it is. Running behind that hangar.
Excuse me.
Yes. You have to pass that open door. The light will hit him.
Good God.
What is it?
Tank, it's a boy.
Boy, you have a partner?
Yes.
But Craig said he's on the bed.
Not now, he isn't. I swear that's Vinny.
Nothing strange. What's going on here?
I don't know yet, Cal, but things are beginning to shape up. A few more leads like this, and we'll have the answer to the whole mystery.
Spinning on his heel, Hop turns back to the Sal Administration building, his mind churning with all he's seen and heard. Tank lumbers behind, slowly shaking his head. Things are getting a little too complex for him.
Gang, you won't want to miss the action-packed climax of today's episode, so stand by. Well, now to get back to the helicopter. Have you ever heard of Floyd Carlson, test pilot for the Bell helicopter people?
A couple of years ago, he pulled off the first civilian rescue with one of the new planes, and it's quite a story. Carson took the helicopter and flew out over Lake Erie, looking for four people trapped on Munch Ice while fishing. Munch Ice, as you may know, is extremely dangerous. Well, anyway, he put the helicopter across the fields, not close, and flew out to where the four men were stranded. No boat could get anywhere near the men because of the ice. Well, the situation was pretty critical, so Carson flew over to the four men. While the Coast Guard was trying to get through the ice with a boat, he dropped down and took off two of the men one at a time. He flew them to shore, and by the time he went back to the third one, the Coast Guard had crashed through the ice and rescued the other two. Two of the men wrote a letter to the Bell people, and I'd like to quote a part of it. Wednesday, when we were stranded on the dangerous ice, not daring to move, little did we realize that aircraft was to play such an important part in our rescue. But that little bug, that bug with three legs, that windmill-equipped lifesaver, that hummingbird, that little angel, that marvelous little machine is something, and we do mean something. Wednesday is the first time either of us saw it demonstrated, and what a demonstration. The helicopter is, without doubt, the coming flying machine. We'd like to have one to hop from trout stream to trout stream. If at any time anyone is in doubt as to what a helicopter can do, kindly refer him to us. We'll tell him the idea. Unquote. Third Carson, the pilot, went a long way to prove the helicopter is a coming flying machine. You'll want to learn to fly them, so always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. It is after 2 in the morning, and without mentioning the fact that they saw Vinnie, Harp and Tank had taken the DC-4 on a routine cargo flight up to Kansas City. Carl rides jump seat with them, and the trip has been fairly quiet. Now, 100 miles west of Little Rock, Tank sticks straight up there.
Hey, and they're getting close to where they saw them enemy fighters?
Oh, no, exactly where they're now, Tank.
I've been watching for them the last 10 minutes. Why didn't somebody tell me? Pretty thick out there. Clouds are starting to pile up. You think we'll get some weather hot?
Well, I checked at the rain station 15 minutes ago. It'll be heavy, but no trouble.
I don't see nothing.
Keep your eyes peeled.
I don't know whether I really want to see a fighter or not.
You've got to see it, sir. We've got to know what we're up against.
I suppose so. Heads up, Pierpont. I see something. Make sure what? Off there to the right.
Like a kind of green light. Right in the front.
Green? The other boy saw green, too.
Look, good Lord. It's a Jap Zero. Came out of the cloud and cut the floor to our head. I can't believe it.
It's perfect. And everything's there.
Yeah, it's Vivian Signal. It's turning. Coming at us straight on.
No, I
can't
find
anything
with that voice.
Now
you and I, you are taking my life, and I
shall
be avenged.
As the ghostly hollow roar echoes from the cabin of the plane, and the Zero roars straight toward them, machine guns chattering a deadly song, Hat, Tank, and Conroy sit frozen in their seats. They'd expected this, they knew it was coming, but still cannot overcome the shock. And now they're heading for a seemingly inevitable collision. Gang, there's all kinds of action in our next episode, so don't fail to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Come on, Hop. We'll be seeing you, same time, same nuclear station. Hop Harrigan is the transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.